My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.
Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi, from Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing, I'm opinionated on life in general, many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Cards, Brooklyn to the world, and we're back for another episode. I'm in the studio. I feel like that's always a positive thing. What episode are we up to? I feel like last week we weren't even counting. So now we're on top of Eugenius is already having trouble keeping up with the numbers.
This is like 83, bro.
You like 83 or is 83?
Remember I said
we got a whole new start. It's all messed up.
No. What is it, guys?
No.
What is it?
Remember we said, was it 2 or 82? So this is 3 or 83?
When did we say 2 or 82?
Four? Those two shows ago.
So 84.
Come on. I told you, we skipped last week already with the number. That was the problem.
Meh.
84.
I'll do some fact checking.
I woke up really sick. Don't bother me.
84.
Oh, good. I'm glad you came in.
84. Right on.
I have a lot of commitment to the show, Seth.
Yeah, you did.
You came on. You come on time too.
Are you coming from work or you coming from home?
From work.
From work. So what commitment? You had to commit to work first. What are you talking about?
I could take a day off of work if I want.
Yeah, but you didn't. That's what I'm saying. Your commitment was to work first. Yeah. What do you make it like your commitment was to the show? Once you're at work, you're 7 blocks away. What's the sacrifice?
I know. What time did you get here last week? Fuck Abby.
What, are you kidding me?
This is 84. You're
84.
Right. When you add them all
what
together.
Mean you're right. Now you're going to tell me he's right?
He just said
it was 83.
No. He did. Right. I corrected him. Then he got, yeah.
Really?
Okay. I'm right then. All right?
No,
I'm right.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Hey, someone was wrong.
You know
wrong
who's
about
right? I'm right.
What do you mean you're right?
I'm right.
What?
Ronda Rousey got spanked. I'm right. You're wrong.
I didn't pick Ronda Rousey.
Yes, you did. This whole goddamn place is out of order. No, you said. No. You weren't involved in the bet, Seth.
Right.
But you said, I'm going to go with Rousey, too.
Did I?
Yes.
I'm going to review that.
Review? You got tape,
you're
going
to go back to the tape?
Yeah, I'm going
to
go back to the tape.
Is the replay?
I don't recall saying that. I don't recall.
I'll bet you 5 kicks in the ass you said it.
I ain't taking no kicks.
Is there indisputable evidence to overturn the call, though? That's the question.
Listen, you stop talking because you're already in big trouble.
Come here, Fokker.
I am in big trouble.
Remember this? You're in a whole heap of trouble here, Fokker.
Are we going to do this?
Put
your hands on the heavy bag.
What do I have to do now?
Put your hands on the heavy bag.
I gotta get kicked in my ass right now?
You gotta take it like a man.
Really? From both? I don't have to do it from both of you guys. It's like ass
no,
up.
No,
remember
no,
ass
no.
Up
not me.
Kid?
Not me. I'm out.
Remember ass is up. When you lose an ass up, everybody pelt you with the blue ball. Mm-hmm. It used to sting you right in the ass.
I got a size 11 blue ball for you.
Remember, no, seriously. You remember? I wonder if anybody at home remembers that game. Ass is up. I feel like it was only a New York game.
We didn't call it that, though.
Or at least an urban game. What'd you call it? You didn't call it ass is up, really.
No, it's spelled ass or something.
It's called butts up or asses up.
Yeah. No, but we didn't call it that. I don't know what the fuck we called it.
Come on.
Suicide. Dipshit.
Suicide was like the G-rated right now. Everybody in my neighborhood called the asses up.
Suicide, because you commit suicide as soon as you drop the
your
ball.
Your ass is committing suicide. Paul,
I'm so sorry. I was surprised, too, that you know, you're usually pretty good with the picks.
I usually am.
You picked with your
am.
Heart, I think.
I picked with my heart. I did. Yeah.
You like bullies.
No,
she's a bully.
He's really cool with her trainer.
Oh, okay.
The guy that looks like Vanis Matarosian, right?
Yeah.
He did a great job.
That guy's been collecting a free check for years.
But honestly, you think Ronda was really in the gym all the time before camp?
She looked good physically.
The time you're going to learn technique is the time when you're not training for a fight. You know what I'm saying? I feel like she was so acclimated. This is just my hypothesis over here, but educated guess.
Keep hypothesis.
I'm just thinking that, you know, she was all Hollywooded out, and then, you know, she got the fight and she went to camp. I mean, when you go to camp, you don't really work on new things. You just go to camp to get sharp on what you already have. So I feel like if she was going to get better at any kind of stand-up or any kind of game, any kind of additions to her MMA game, she was going to have to do that by being in the gym when not training for a fight. I'm not saying I don't see her. I'm saying I hypothesized.
No, because you said Hollywood.
I hypothesized. Oh, how do I know Hollywood?
Yeah,
I
mean, like, yeah,
she did,
do
like, two movies the whole time. She did, like, a Bud Light commercial. I mean, you know, these are things that take
two
you
movies?
With. Two movies. She did Entourage and she did...
She did Entourage 19 years ago. Entourage came out in 2013, cuz.
Yeah.
Cuz.
Yeah.
Keep going with Entourage.
What about
Expendables? I knew that's what he was talking about. Expendables was 2 years ago. Go ahead. Keep going. I know, the Coors Light commercial, yeah. And she's also on Metro PCS with every other fighter. That's an excuse. Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
No excuse. All right, go
ahead. I'm just saying, I think...
Entourage, if Entourage was Jewish, she would have been bar mitzvah already. Hey, that's how old it is.
Get out of here.
I'm going to roll
today. Leave the Jews out of it.
Yeah, come on.
Leave the Jews out of it, please.
Yeah. Goldberg's back. Okay. Hey, so let me ask you guys a prediction. Will she fight again?
No.
I don't know.
Listen, I said this to him, okay? This business is not a forgiving business. Everybody talks that she's doing these movies and she's going to be Hollywood. She's going to go into the WWE. So Dana White's like, wait, I made this girl a global name. She's a superstar, and she's going to go to WWE.
Hey, don't.
Okay, you know what? Fight her first.
You know what? Don't give poor Dana White that she took advantage. No, she also made them a lot of money, too.
Absolutely, but what I'm saying is the star gets built, and then she's going to leave. He has to build another star.
So yeah. Connor's going to leave, too.
Right. So he has to build another star.
Oh, and
you
know
what?
That's a good point.
And that's a tough fight to take off of 13 months off, getting your face pounded.
That's a good point. But if you're going to... The problem with going to Hollywood is this. It's only, if you're somebody like Ronda Rousey, you have the badass image. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to go to Hollywood as that badass image. The problem with having the badass image is you could be coming off two times in a row getting your ass whooped. So almost because now your image took a hit. You know what I'm saying? So
Big hit.
I don't even know how much of those kind of roles can they really give her unless she kind of has to readjust her image by winning a couple of fights. I mean, let's face it, Ronda's still Ronda. I mean, she doesn't have to fight the best fighter in the world to get a win and get everybody hyped
and
up.
And to sell.
I mean,
yeah.
In reality, she didn't beat that many good fighters to begin with to get all this hype in the first place. So you know, I feel like, you know, she can easily go back to the gym and improve below the radar. And you know, I think every fight she'll have will kind of be hyped up, like the return of Ronda Rousey and so on and so forth. You know,
you can say the same about, like,
she doesn't have to fight Amanda Nunes. You know what I'm saying?
She had like a Tyson upbringing, right? Tyson knocked all these guys out and she was getting all these arm bars. But they weren't great fighters to begin with. It was starting
her
career.
I mean, at day's end, she reminded me of Hoist Gracie. You know, at women's mixed martial arts, you're able to excel with one particular sport, with one particular strength for a long time. Just like in the men's mixed martial arts, at the very beginning of it, the very beginning stages of it, you were able to excel with one particular strength at one time, and that was the grappling strength. You know, the hold, the submissions, and eventually, you know, the evolution of mixed martial arts, it passed Hoist Gracie by, and it, you know, the question is, has the evolution of the female mixed martial arts passed Ronda Rousey by, or will she be able to kind of get it back in the saddle and learn make additions to her game? It's not that easy to just sit back and make additions to your game all of a sudden. Like, sometimes the sport just bypasses you, and it did that to the past fighters. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, it's part of the evolution process of the sport, you know? I always say fighters from 100 years ago are not better than fighters today in boxing. Boxing is the only sport with stupid enough fans and media guys that think the opposite way when any other sport advances itself with each and every year and each and every decade, you know? So
it's like George St. Pierre hired Freddie Roach to be his boxing trainer because he wanted to be great at boxing.
You have to evolve.
You have to try to continue to evolve because the sport is only going to get better and
better. That's another thing about it, Amanda, though. It's a good point because I think female MMA has passed Ronda because, you know, you get a fight like last week. Everybody says, oh, if she grabs her, what? The girl, Nunez, is a black belt in jiu-jitsu herself.
Yeah.
So
won't be so easy.
Right. Yeah. She's a black belt in jiu-jitsu herself, and she throws
and these girls
pretty kick-ass punches
and
kicks.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the other thing, I don't know if Ronda mentally was in it anymore. You know, coming up, you got to understand, she come off a bad knockout. Coming off a bad knockout, you don't know how you're going to react when you first get in the ring, or in the octagon in this case. You know, she got knocked out bad. You can say all the stuff you want to say, but then that bell rings and you're in there. And, you know, that first minute you're in there, you're kind of got to get your feet back wet again because you're going to get hit with those 4-ounce gloves.
First 48 seconds.
Well, that's the problem. She never even picked past that minute. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like Amanda coming out with that body language that was, I'm going to hurt you body language. You know, she had that aggressive stance but very well balanced, shooting sharp punches. Mm-hmm. I felt like it sent a statement to Ronda. And if Ronda had her mindset in the mindset of I'm going to do what it takes to win tonight. I feel like that's why I think also Ronda still had the knockout loss was still pending on her mind subconsciously, because as soon as she saw an aggressive Amanda Nunes throwing sharp shots, Ronda threw only stay away from me shots. She didn't throw anything significant. She threw like these little front kicks that were like please don't hurt me type of shots, like stay away from me. And even the punches were, you know, they weren't anything hurtful where it's like, okay, you're making her miss and I'm going to come back with something to stop this girl right in her tracks.
No bad intentions, right?
Yeah, yeah, she kind of was like thrown back herself. She was like in shell shock mode, like, wow, this girl came to really blitz me and I don't like it, you know what I'm saying? Instead of being like,
I'm not ready,
instead
for
of being
either.
This girl, instead of having the mindset of this girl came to blitz me, I'm gonna kick her ass right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's easier said than done, don't get me wrong. I mean, when you're coming off that other performance where you're gonna have those doubts, subtle doubts in your mind, a girl coming out the way Amanda Nunes came out can make those doubts creep up really fast if mentally you're not with it. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things involved. I'm not gonna sit there and say I'm gonna doubt Ronda's ability to come back. But I think to come back, she has to really want to come back. You know, you can't half-ass right, this one. If you come back, you're either all in or you're all out. You know, because, you know, this isn't going to be an easy situation to come back from. You know, when you come back from situations like this, you have to put your mindset into the place where I'm all in here and I'm going to do what it takes, and it's going to be uncomfortable and it's going to be very criticized and I'm going to have to eat a lot of shit, but I'm going to do this because I'm all in. So you can't surpass those obstacles if you're not all in. So, I mean, I don't know what Ronda has going on outside the octagon. I don't know how much money she has in the bank, because she's made pretty good money. Investment, sometimes money makes money and you don't need to fight anymore. If that's making her too comfortable, it's going to be very hard to
be
overcome
hungry.
Yeah, to yeah. overcome some of the all of that negativity, because there's a lot of it she's going to have to overcome, you know?
It's like when Rocky lost to Mr. T the first time.
It's hard to be angry. You have to be angry. You know, when people say it's not good to be angry when you're a pro fighter, I feel like anger can help you if you know how to place it correctly and use that emotion correctly. It's hard to be angry when, at the end of the day, yeah, the criticism might anger you, but then you go and think into your $500,000 Bentley, or you check your bank statement and there's a lot of money in there, or whatever else you got going on financially. It's hard to stay angry, is what I'm saying. Like, you may get angry for a second, but it's hard to stay angry.
Floyd did a good job, right?
And the thing about it, well, that's the thing. Even Floyd, to me, fights on a lot of sharpness. He doesn't fight on a lot of anger. Like, I feel like Floyd at 130 pounds was an angry fighter. I mean, he was coming out blitzing guys at 147 pounds, especially at his age. He's more like, he's got the mentality, for me, when I see him in the ring, like, I'm better than you and I'm just gonna put my 48 minutes of work in tonight and then I'm gonna go home, you know what I'm saying?
And or cast this big ass check.
Yeah, 36 minutes plus 1 minute rest in between, but 48 minutes. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's hard to, you can be angry, but it's hard to stay angry. Can Ronda stay angry, you know, throughout her days in camp every day? You know what
I'm
saying?
She has to want to fight.
Because
it's
not just stay angry. It's staying angry, but using that anger in a way where it doesn't consume you. You know what I'm saying?
Fuel your fire.
That's the thing.
What are we doing these kicks? We got to do it on camera.
Well, I think we got to do. Yeah, well, you know, I got to pay the bet. I got to pay the bet. What am I going to do?
We got to take advantage of this.
I got to pay the bet. We'll do it on camera. We got to pay the bet. Well, you know, in a couple minutes, we have our this week's guest. You know, speaking of female fighters, you know, this week we have Anna Houlton, who's an ex two-time super bantamweight world female boxing champion. And now she's doing some MMA. Her trainer is Angelo Reyes, who is trainer for Alessandro Ricci of the UFC and Frank Mir of the UFC. You know,
good fighters.
So she trains with him. She's been working. She's been with Angelo for a long time. I know them both. Good people. Angelo herself is a good fighter. She wants to more discuss how big of a deal is it for women's boxing. It is for Showtime to be finally televising a big female fight, because next week on the DeGale versus James DeGale versus Badu Jack fight, James DeGale versus Badu Jack card, you know, we have Rivas versus Serrano. Obviously, was it Cindy or Amanda?
Amanda. Cindy is the sister who fought recently.
Yeah, they both can fight their ass off. So the Serrano versus Rivas is the world title fight being televised on Showtime Extreme.
That's great.
And it's great for women's boxing. And, I personally, obviously, we've seen a Serrano fight, where I know a little bit about Rivas. She can fight, too. You know, this is actually, if you're going to showcase women's boxing, I think this is a great fight to do it for. You know what Absolutely. I'm saying? And obviously, Anna Houlton knows a bit about these girls. You know, she's obviously in female boxing as well as being in female MMA. I believe she has some history with Rivas. Maybe I think she's had her in camp or whatnot because, you know, Anna herself is an ex-world champion. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if they're fighting for a belt that Anna has actually had. I'm not sure if this is actually the same weight. I'm going to have to ask Anna.
Get her opinion on Ronda, too.
Yeah, we get her opinion on Ronda because she's Anna's also looking to break into the mixed martial arts world. She's done some mixed martial arts fights, but she's trying to excel at that a little bit. I think she probably sees that the women in mixed martial arts are able to get a little bit more attention and maybe make a little bit more money than they are in boxing here in this country. But certainly the Serrano versus Rivas fight is a fight that can really propel gives women's boxing a chance to be propelled to a different level, especially if these girls can show the skills that we know they have, but also put on an entertaining fight and make people say, you know what, and I'm going to tune in next time. Not only do I watch these girls, but I'm going to tune in next time they put on a female fight on, you know, because, you know, you can make these girls can draw new fans to themselves personally, but they can also draw new fans to the sport of female boxing as well. So we'll see when we get her on the phone. Is she on the phone now?
Not yet.
She hasn't called in. All right, so
we might as well do. We'll pay off the bet after.
We can do that.
Well, that's what I've been saying.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's talk to Anna first, and then I'm literally gonna kick you in your ass.
What would you rather, Paul? Would you rather have given him $100 or you're okay
at this
with the
point?
Kicks?
He's gonna wish he gave me $100. Yeah.
No, but dude, I mean,
have you guys done that?
We don't.
Has this happened before?
Yeah, we don't full force.
It's more just like a embarrassment.
What? I say we don't pull force. I would have kicked you right through the wall.
I know you would have.
Oh,
yo,
last
what
time?
About that? Yo, last time I ended up going to my cousin's like the day later, and I thought it was because of the kicks in the ass. I woke up and I couldn't move. Remember that?
When you lost the bet?
Yeah. We had a bet. I think it was about.
But you get swinging up in the morning, bro. You don't work out.
I'm sick today.
Come on. He's talking about he's sore. Why, the next day when you lost the kicks in the ass?
I couldn't move from the bet. That was when we played FIFA. We made a bet.
And the game that you never lose at, you mean?
Yeah.
You mean you lost a bet that get kicked in your ass? Look at the proof. The truth comes out after last week's argument about who wins in FIFA.
I know. Glass Joe was 0-99. He finally won one. It happened to be the five kicks in the ass.
That's real believable. I know.
It is.
It's not that I just kept kicking his ass to the point where now
CNN.
He went to bet.
Game on. Don't miss a second of the NFL on CBS. With CBS All Access, subscribers can stream their local market games live and get full game day coverage on TV-connected devices and tablets. From Thursday Night Football to Sunday doubleheaders, we have all your NFL on CBS excitement covered. Start your free trial now at cbs.com/NFL. That's cbs.com/NFL.
We have it. Is that on?
Hey, Polly.
Hey, Cham. What's up, Anna? How you doing? We need to turn the volume up over here.
I'm on.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good to have you on. I got Peter Cards here. We got Seth Nyman. Well, we're looking at some volume for you.
Awesome.
Say what's up.
How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, Anna. Say hello to Angelo for us as well.
Okay.
We're going to get right to it here with you, Anna. You know, obviously, we kind of introduced you already before we brought you on. You know, we were talking about how, you're a two-time world champion in boxing and you're kind of venturing off into MMA a little bit while also still doing the boxing. And we're talking about how big of a deal it is for next week's Showtime telecast to be also showing a very big women's fight. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the two girls? You know, we kind of went into it a little bit. We know you probably know a little bit more about these two women and, kind of describe about why it's going to be such a good fight and why people should tune in.
Well, first off, I mean, they're both veterans and they're in their own right. Yasmin Rivas, she's been boxing for a long time. She has over 40 fights and she's been in there with the best, traveled all over the world and captured a lot of few titles. And, she's going in there with Amanda Serrano. And, that's going to be an exciting one. I think she only had one loss to her name. And she's been coming up from a bigger weight class, going knocking people out and just coming here and trying to put it down and make a way for the U.S. female boxers.
So, do you have any personal experience with either of them? Have you sparred with either of these girls or know them personally or whatnot?
Now, with Amanda, no, I haven't gone over to the East Coast and done any training over there. But out here in the West Coast, I've gotten to move around with Yasmin Rivas. I got to spar her actually for my third professional boxing fight. She's getting ready to fight Jackie Nava for a world title fight. Just to give you an idea, that was probably back in 2008. So she's been going to world titles for years. And, you know, one thing that's really good in her game is, you know, she likes to come forward. She's very aggressive, but her inside game is just on point. She likes to throw those body punches. She mixes it up to body to the head, hitting uppercuts. And, you know, and then she'll, if you're not keen to it or if you get emotionally attached to it, she'll, you know, strike you into that game and just kind of play it into her rhythm and pace. So that's one thing that I definitely remember from her. And I think just from watching her over the years, I remember back then she was a lot younger and, and I don't think she was as mentally strong as she is now. From what I remember, she's a lot more, you know, in shape, a lot more prepared. She's taken a lot more seriously. So it's pretty interesting to see her venture from the 122 pounds from when I originally met her, venturing down to 118 and come back up to 122 pounds. So, you know, I think this is going to be a great fight between her and Amanda. It's going to be a classical fight. I think, you know, both girls go forward and it's going to be action-packed. I'm actually excited about it. And it's finally, you know, I'm so happy that Showtime is actually doing something like this. And it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I think the main thing about the fight, and this is why the styles of the fights are so important, Anna, because I think, and just like in the male department, of styles make fights. So you want to match up two fighters that will create a fun fight, especially where this is sort of a, almost like a rehearsal for women's boxing on Showtime, to where if these girls do this right and put on an entertaining fight, I don't see why Steven Espinosa wouldn't just bring them back on, but also give other women a chance to get some televised fights. You know, you talked a little bit about Yasmin's style and her being a come forward fighter. That's kind of Serrano's style too. She's a bit of a boxer puncher. She got some sharp shots. She's a sharp shooter, as you know, we've seen her on the East Coast a little bit. Her and her sister, both very good fighters, and she's a sharpshooter, but she can punch a little bit herself. So I think stylistically, it makes for interesting fight, because I think Serrano can box coming forward but can go backwards as well. And what you're telling us about Rivas, you know, she likes to come forward and bang it out, sort of in that quintessential Mexican puncher style, you know. Tactically, how would you break this fight down, and do you have a pick for a winner and a loser?
I think it can end early if Serrano plays her game. I think she's the bigger fighter coming in. Even though they're both weighing in at 122 pounds, I mean, Amanda's used to fighting girls who are a lot bigger, fighting at 130, 135 and so forth. She's used to those type of punches. And even from the way that she throws her punches and the way that she stalks her opponent, she always has that feel or that look where she's the bigger fighter. You know, she's going there knowing that she's the bigger fighter. So, I think she needs to stick to that game. For Yasmin, I don't think it'll be a good idea for her to play that right in the beginning. I think she needs to choose her spots, kind of play it a little bit like Frida Wahlberg when Amanda went overseas to fight Frida, and that's her first and only loss. And you know, she was able to box her a little bit, you know, stick and move, picking her moment.
Does Yasmin have the legs to pick her spots and stick and move
at this point in her career? That's going to be the question. If you watched her last fight, Yasmin won a split decision against another girl who was at 122 pounds for another world title. And, you know, she throws a lot of punches. She's a 10-round fight fighter. And, you know, she's used to that pace. She's used to staying in there. And I think she understands the flow and the pace of the game. And I think she'll be able to read Amanda's motives, knowing when to fight her and when not to fight her, when to back away and when to box and so forth. So, you know, I think it's really going to be a test on how well not only Yasmin but also her team and how everything has been carried along here. Also, with the past year, she was able to have three fights. So it depends on if she's just caught in the moment or if she's able to step back a little bit, kind of regroup and kind of get into this fight with Amanda Serrano and play it out like it's a brand new fight. Have a certain game plan and kind of, you know, have more of a stick and move game, finding the right moments of when to just throw in her body shots and escape finesse with a lot of finesse and go back to boxing and just finding her moments. So it's going to be interesting because I have to look up when was the last time Yasmin fought a southpaw. So the open stance, the righty-lefty matchup is going to be an interesting one. And,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
It's always a little bit of a wild card too. The different stances and especially the lefty righty matchup, it always throws a little bit of a curveball. And sometimes for somebody who hasn't seen, who hasn't fought on a southpaw in a while, so we definitely want to look that up as well. Anna, why don't you tell us about a little bit about your own career as well? Obviously, we mentioned you're a 2-time world champion. Do you still have intention to keep boxing? Try to regain a title? Maybe even look to fight the winner of the Serrano and Rivas fight, or anybody else you have in mind? Or and what about this venturing off into MMA? How permanent of a move is that?
You know, just being in the game for the fight for such a long time. I mean, I've done martial arts since I was 10, got into it, and that's how I got into boxing. And, you know, I spent, about 12, 13 years in the sport of boxing, and now, you know, I'm just going back and forth. And I just understand that what's really important is, how you know, just in front of you. So right now, my promoter and I, Alan Tremblay, I had to tell him, you know, I had to step away from the MMA a little bit. I ventured on into the wrestling and the grappling circuit, and you know, it's so different from the boxing game. The footwork's different, the pacing's different, the stancing's different, the mentality's different, and you know, just being in that world for 2 years, it definitely played a game in my boxing pace and even my mentality. So right now, I'm just, you know, going back to the books.
Basically get back to being you, so to speak, in terms of your striking and your boxing.
Absolutely, but with a fresher mindset. It's funny because when I first got into boxing, and this is an accumulation of just going through the amateurs, going through the pros, winning world titles, you know, understanding the lifestyle of defending world titles, and you know, going back and forth in that whole thing. It's very easy to get swapped in the moment and not taking the time out to like step aside and step away, because it could almost be limiting, where you're only used to what you know that wins, instead of venturing out and just trying to adapt and kind of evolve as a fighter, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like,
keep yourself in that window. You want to be able to think outside the box as well.
And you know, it's hard to have that balance sometimes, and so I kind of feel like, you know, there's a lot of things I know that in the MMA world they have never seen in terms of boxing. Just something as simple as the beauty of a jab, the science of a jab. A jab is more than just having a single jab. It has a lot to do with your footwork, the way you set it up, and I can go. It's layers upon layers upon layers, and
there's a lot. There's a lot to the jab. Of course. Mainly, it sets up your distance, but your legs have to be in unison with the jab first and foremost.
Oh, I mean, you know, talking to you, you know exactly about it. You talk to any boxing fan, you talk to any boxer, they know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, the jab, it's the most fundamental and one of the most important weapons that you can enter into the ring. Now, if you bring that into the cage, it's a completely different story. You're in a different culture, different people, different coaches, and you're like, whoa, what's going on? It's like, people don't understand your language, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and then that's the nice thing. I mean, it's sometimes tough to evolve from one sport to the other and back and forth, I think, because of the fact that people are so close-minded to what they know, and they don't want to open up to maybe more knowledge or different kind of knowledge or something different, something that you might be bringing to the table, you know?
Oh, for sure. And so, you know, right now I just want to get ready for a fight, possibly in February and March. I've been training. I've been at the gym, and it's nice to just.
And this would be a mixed martial arts fight?
Oh no! It'll be a boxing fight. And then from there, and then if any opportunity were to open up, like a big fight with someone with like a Jackie Nava or Marcelo Cunha from Argentina, or even possibly in the winner of this fight coming up with Amanda Serrano versus Yasmin Rivas, or even with Heather Hardy, you know, there's a lot of big names out in the 122 pound division for female boxing, especially in the U.S. So, you know, if that happens to be along the way, you know, absolutely, I'm going to take it. I mean, I'm a fighter. I mean, you know how it is, Paulie. Yeah. I fought with injuries, you know, torn ACLs, torn meniscus. You know, it doesn't even matter if it's in your heart. If it's something that you believe. Mm-hmm. Yes, you just go in there and you do it, because that's what you do.
So safe to say you'll have a keen eye on next week's battle between Serrano and Rivas, and you'll be looking to fight the winner. You
know,
we'll tell all listeners where can they find you on Twitter and Instagram and all that.
Just plug in my name. As long as you're able to spell, you can find me. It's Anna Hulaton, AnnaJulaton. Find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you can find all the latest stuff.
Okay, sounds good. And your trainer, Angela Reyes, is Angela @AngelaReyesStriking, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and Angelo's a great trainer. He trains not only Anna, he trains Alessandro Ricci and Frank Mir. So you guys can check him out as well. A boxing trainer, but also a striking coach in mixed martial arts. Anna, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on the show and talking about next week's fights and the female aspect of combat sports. I feel like we can give it a little bit more credibility with having guests on like you. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Polly. Bye.
Thanks, champ. Bye-bye.
See ya.
So that was Anna Hulatin. To discuss the next week's fight. You know, I think I get more psyched about it because, you know, like, we talk about styles make fights. You know, mm-hmm. We talk about, like, the fact that you want to see a fun fight, and whether it's male or female, you want to see a fun fight. And I think the possibilities for Serrano and Rivas to, you know, put on a fun fight. Rivas seems to be an aggressive fighter. Adam brought up a good point, though. You know, with Serrano having the natural size, being a naturally bigger person, you know.
I didn't know she fought that heavy one time.
Yeah, you know, and plus Serrano seemed to be heavy-handed in general. You know absolutely. What I'm saying? That both Serrano sisters, I've seen them, were, you know, they pack a pretty decent punch. If you're fighting somebody you're naturally bigger than, you know, I'm not sure it's going to be in Rivas' best interest to bring the fight. It might make for some fun action, but Serrano's sharp, bro. Yeah. I mean, Serrano, both sisters are sharp. You know, she might land something smooth. I mean, it gives her an opportunity to, you know, beat a good fighter, maybe put up some kind of a highlight reel type of knockout. Right. We'll see what Rivas brings to the table. But I think the fight has the possibilities of being fun. Everybody can check it out next week on a Showtime Extreme portion of our undercard on the Jack versus DeGale fight. If you're here in the U.S., obviously the main portion of the card with Javonta Davis and Jose Pedraza, and then James DeGale and Badu Jack will be on Showtime, regular Showtime. That's the Championship Boxing edition, and then the Showtime Extreme portion will be on Showtime Extreme. You know, and that will have the Rivas and Serrano fight. And usually we have another fight on too. I don't know what other fight we have. We usually put two fights on Extreme. So looking forward to that card.
That's a pretty stacked
and,
card.
You know,
so.
And the year begins. You know, the year begins. We're getting some good card. We're getting some good fights.
I'm coming.
Fights.
I'm gonna be there.
Oh, you're gonna be there. Boom. Yeah. Nice. We're gonna have Seth.
We're gonna be there.
Are we gonna be there? Are we gonna invade the weigh-in? What are we doing?
Yes, sir.
What are we doing at the weigh-in?
Hey, come on.
We can't say yet. But look,
we can't say yet. The things that
we might be
away.
Doing some special from Brooklyn to the world at the weigh-in.
We can't say yet. It's a week away. We can't say. When do we?
It might
say?
Be this guy over here. He might be on the show.
Who?
This guy behind me.
We got Greg Floyd for the show, too.
No, just the cardboard Floyd. Yeah. Not the real
Floyd. We'll be there,
bring
right?
it to Barclays. Yeah, yeah. Bring it to
Barclays. I should bring it with me.
If we can't get the real Floyd, we'll talk to the cardboard Floyd, right?
Yeah, he'll be running around there, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he will yeah. be. Yeah, he will
grab,
be.
We'll try to grab.
Maybe we'll try. If anybody shows, usually the weigh-ins are for the public, open to the public. So if we're doing a show over there, maybe we'll grab a couple of you guys. If you guys are at the weigh-in, if you guys are in town, show up to the weigh-in. I mean, it's usually free to get into the weigh-in anyway if they're public. We'll might be doing a little broadcast from there. We'll have like random guests on. We'll discuss the show.
It's gonna be an open table, open mic.
I am not responsible for anything Peter Cards might tell you guys or say to you guys. I just want to know. You don't know if he was in one of his moods. He might go off. You know,
he's very happy today, though.
He's in a good mood. So why are you so happy today? I thought you were sick.
I am sick. But the motivation to come and kick you in the ass is really
puts a smile on my face. I gotta get this out of the way.
Let's do it.
I gotta get this out of the way. Unbelievable.
I want to make sure we have a good camera shot. Don't waste it.
I'll tell you, man.
Kick until I tell you to kick.
No.
See what I do to get Rhonda's back? I mean, I even have to. I have to do this now.
You know, don't bet with your heart. You know
that. I hear you.
Come on.
He tells me that every week with the Giants.
I'll tell you what. This year they're good. I tell you that with the Knicks, not the Giants.
I SP'd for some Giants Super Bowl odds. They got a shot, man. This looks like that. Imagine if they beat Brady three times.
Oh, my
how,
God.
He'll never be happy the rest of his life.
Oh, never. How can you?
Because he's the best of all time,
like,
but still
it's
eat
crazy
him up.
Every time we have a shot at the Super Bowl, this freaking guy's got like the best record in the AFC every time, right?
It makes it even sweeter.
Why do we ever play anymore?
It makes it sweeter.
It's crazy.
It's good. Let's do this.
All right.
Over by the heavy bag. Let's move this.
I gotta go buy a heavy bag?
Yeah.
We got food. Thanks for not eating.
Oh, God.
Let's do this. Careful now. All right. He's not retired yet, Pete, so don't hurt.
No, of course.
Cost him money.
We got this on camera and everything. Look.
Yeah, we gotta get on camera. Pete, make sure you
I feel like I'm playing asses up again. I really feel like I'm playing it. Remember when you played asses up?
Your ass is gonna be up, all right?
You got five. Who remembers asses up? Anybody remembers asses up from Brooklyn and listens to the show? Tweet us about it.
The only people listening are from England. They don't listen from Brooklyn.
You think so?
All right, let's do this.
Up in
I'm going to count. I'm going to count the kicks.
Buns up.
You got a good angle. Get a good angle.
Yeah, I'm lefty, man.
Oh, let's let me kick him right. Oh, all right. Turn him out.
It ain't too bad.
Turn him out. Bend in like from
Cristiano. Turn him that way a little bit.
This way?
Yeah, towards to your left, so you got more.
Yeah, no, I'm good right here.
All right, here we go.
I'll be stumping. Don't
ready? Go. Kick number one. Let's go.
I'll be stumping.
There's one.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
You
can't receive it.
All right.
He's like rolling with it like it's a punch.
Yeah, take it like a man. You say, thank you, sir, may I have another.
I'll be stumping your toe on the table trying to kick it.
Say, thank you, sir, may I have another.
Yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't
part of
the best.
Say, the lotion puts it on the skin.
Oh, you said. Oh.
That's two. What? You got three more.
Oh, ow! Oh, I got a sit over here.
You're going to do the rest of the show standing.
Oh!
And this one.
This one.
Thank you, Amanda.
Beautiful.
You imagine what I do?
What a true sport.
I hope Rhonda appreciates me getting her back.
I'm sure she does. She's home counting money.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee, but she will be in WWE one day.
Yeah.
And her and Ric Flair's daughter can headline WrestleMania. That's how big that would be.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Charlotte's huge right now.
Really?
Yeah, she's
I didn't even know.
She's legit. She's a legit athlete. She's a champ and she's big, she's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when do they show her? Like
she fights
twins and stuff?
She fights.
Is she
all
the Rolex wearing, pinky ring wearing?
She's got the robe.
Yeah, she got all that, yeah?
Yeah.
Limousine riding.
Private
jet flying.
She does her own thing. She got her own thing going on. She's really, she's really good. Yeah.
And her gaiters are keeping her down. They're so heavy.
Wow, you remember all that stuff. That's impressive. They got a 30 for 30 on Ric Flair coming out soon.
Do they? Oh, yeah. That's a must watch.
I saw
the best trash talker.
Yeah. I saw something. How old is he now?
Oh, you saw he deadlifted 400 pounds. Deadlifted 67 years old.
Really? Just now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
They showed that, yeah.
I can't even do that right now, let alone at 67 years old.
Former podcaster right here. I played that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Woo Nation. Move on?
Woo Nation.
He went somewhere else, and now he's just completely done.
And he just deadlifts.
He just deadlifts wherever.
Now he just deadlifts. So he still wear the Rolexes and the pinky rings.
He does.
Limousine riding.
Yeah.
Private jet flying.
The biggest house on the biggest street.
Oh, I can watch Ric Flair trash talk YouTubes all day, bro.
He took his shoe off to the Tony Schiavone. He says, "My shoes cost more than your house."
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
When I'm talking about the interview that I was talking about, what I just mentioned. Who was he talking about? Where he said. I spent more money in bars all across the country on liquor than bars all across the country than you made last year.
Everybody. And he wasn't kidding either.
I know.
He made some serious dough, right?
He spent some serious money in liquor too.
Huh?
Yeah, he spent it. He came in and it went out. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
married
man.
Four times.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
that'll
do it.
He was like
Willie Pep then. He put it on a lot of slow horses and fast women.
That's true.
Is that what Willie Pep said?
Yeah, that's what Willie Pep said. Said, I made a lot of money in my life. He goes, I had fun, though. Problem is, I had a lot of slow horses and fast women. Instead of the other way around.
He was a mush.
Yeah.
That's great.
It happens. Pete knows how that feels.
Yeah. Thank you.
You won a bet, though. Congratulations.
It happens once in a while. A broken clock is right twice a day, you know?
At least. What
else have you been winning lately? Have you won anything?
No.
I did good this week.
I did good this week.
What were the locks?
You had the Nunez.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was a lock.
Boom.
You know that one.
Yeah.
Oh, San Diego? You were sweating it out for a minute. It was close for a minute.
Yeah, but they had nothing to play. I mean, aside from it's a division game, they're playing spoiler ball, but...
Yeah.
The Chiefs are just grinding the ball.
Yeah, well, we got to give a shout out.
The Packers, I mean.
Forget the Packers. Playing the Giants this week.
Yeah. Well, you guys like. You like it? Who are you liking that game?
What am I going to say? I'm not going to go with the Giants.
No, but, you know, I just feel like the Packers are hot, but they haven't played any good teams. They haven't played a defense
this
like the Giants.
This is a defense that they're really, really going to get tested against.
What about, can I give a shout out to Cody Garbrandt?
Sure you can.
For winning the UFC World Championship?
Absolutely.
On the Rousey and Nunez card?
Yeah.
Did you see him with the kid?
He loves the Future Legend brand. We got to give him. We got to hype that up. I actually got a picture with Cody rocking Future Legend. I got to post that up on social media.
I saw a cool thing, too. He always has this little kid with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kid
overcame, what did he overcome?
He overcame something. It was very sick.
Some kind
sick.
Of severe autism or something, right? What was it? The kid that was with Cody Garbrandt?
We'll take a look.
Yeah, really, really nice of
the
champ.
He brings
the
kid everywhere.
Yeah, and they let the kid get the belt when after he won it. It was,
that was a good fight.
It is. To his biggest inspiration.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool. I saw it on Facebook.
That was a big fight on that car, too. Him
absolutely.
And Cruz, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
10-year-old Maddox Maple, young kid from New Champions hometown in Ohio, is battling cancer. He started
cancer.
When he was 5.
Wow, talking about autism. This guy had cancer. Can he
5, and five he's 10 people. Now. He's been battling for 5 years.
Wow.
And he met through his brother. And,
Shout out to Madison, that man. Freaking a little warrior then, huh?
Hey, Cody said he's his inspiration.
That's
if he
cool,
could go
man.
Through that, yeah. You know, he could go through a training camp, I guess, right?
That's a good point.
And Cody looks like a nice guy.
What So let's talk about the upcoming schedule. Because you know what I heard today on Twitter? I don't know how true this is. I heard they're going to make Jarrett Hurd and Tony Harrison, too.
I saw
Tony
that.
Harrison won, but they're going to make that as well.
Also,
too.
Right. I saw that. I saw a meme
heard
with that.
That.
Yeah.
That's it, bro. PBC, everybody's fighting each other.
That's
we just
a
had
good
Joel
fight.
And Williams fighting. We had what about that I posted the PBC schedule coming up on Showtime on all the other channels. And you know, there was mostly people loving it, I'm not going to lie. But there was like one or two guys like, sucks, I only see two fights. But there's two fights just on the fucking, on the freaking, there's two
okay.
fights.
It's okay.
Wait, can we do that?
Let
there's,
it go.
Can we, there's two fights on just on the Santa Cruz and Frampton card that are good, bro. Santa Cruz and Frampton and Zlatikinen and Garcia are awesome.
What about
right
next
along
week?
The whole schedule.
Yeah, what about
the next
week?
Few months. Yeah, that's what somebody you jerk off. I'm going to hit you with a backslap.
It's called
jerk
a hater.
Off.
It's called a hater.
Not even a hater. That's just like a little bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
your friend Yuri Foreman's got a good fight.
Huh? Yeah.
Your friend Yuri Foreman got a nice fight for himself.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, that's I understand that one not getting crazy hype, but you know, Yuri's coming on
but
the comeback trail.
I'm saying for him
trail.
Though, it's great.
Yeah,
and, you
great
know,
opportunity.
Seth is one of yours. You know,
one of my peoples.
One of your
rabbi.
Rabbi, fellow. What is a fellow Jew or
sure?
What you call it? A
Jewish.
A, yeah.
Yes.
Do you like a.
Like we say cuisine.
You throw them like a hallelujah?
Yeah, like.
Oh, you mean like a mazel?
Like right. a mazel, yeah. Right.
A
like
Los Angeles mazel?
Wish him luck? What do you
sure, doing? Of course, yeah.
Sure. What do you throw him? Like, well, you gotta wish him luck on the air with someone. What do you like? Mm. Like, hi, him? What do you say?
Dude, kick his ass!
Kick his ass, C-Bass!
Kick his ass, C-Bass! That's where
yeah,
you go.
Right. Exactly. I guess we could go that
route. I'm reading about Cotto Kirkland, and Ann Wolf is back. Is he undefeated with Ann Wolf? Has he ever lost a fight with her?
I don't think he's lost with Ann Wolf, but I don't know.
It's interesting, though, right? I mean,
it's that's a nice little fun fact, a fun tidbit.
I'm not saying
say
he should be favored to win the fight or anything, but
you know what? It'll make it more fun just to know that he's going into the fight with Ann Wolf and he's never lost with Ann Wolf, right? That'll make it more fun.
Because he's a different guy. We've watched him.
Yeah.
He's a different fighter when
and
he has
punches
her.
Very hard. I mean, this is not a gimme. I mean, I think Cotto wins, but it's not a gimme just for the sake that.
And that's part of the fun schedule, too. I mean,
right?
It's the,
is this the, but is this
it's
the,
non-PBC
is,
but it, I mean
is this the fight Cotto gets old in though I mean you know what
you
I mean
never know.
It could be hot like Hopkins
Cotto's my age
yeah you're
everybody's
old bro
everybody's different right?
he's been through some fights man
yeah he got hit with a guy with bricks in his gloves I mean come on
that's
he's been through a lot
and then Pacquiao too
right
yeah
between those two guys yeah he almost he has a criminal case
yeah you got that right. So what else? What other fights we got? Okay, we got So Hurd and Harrison. I think that's a nice little fight.
I think it's a great fight.
I think that's a nice little fight. Did you hear what network it might be on? I mean, somebody tweeted me about
that
today.
Do you know what it is?
I don't know.
I'm looking at the upcoming schedule.
I think it's pretty wild.
No, and then obviously we got Frampton Santa Cruz in 2 weeks after the Gale.
We got Brawler against Granados, which okay, it may not stand out, but Granados is a guy who comes to bring the upset, and you know.
I'm excited to see that kid.
I'm excited to see that because, you know, he already upset Amir Imam, who's obviously one of the better young fighters in boxing and who's on the comeback trail himself. So Granados has earned it, long time coming, because I think the Imam fight was actually about a year and a half ago. So, but, you know, I mean, you favor Broner, but this is a chance for Granados to really make his name. You know, especially the fact that Ricky Burns, I heard, is fighting Ndongo. If Burns unifies with Ndongo, I think the winner of Broner and Granados can fight the winner of Burns and Ndongo, you know?
When's Broner fighting? I'm not seeing it here.
Adrian Granados.
But when?
February 18th.
February 18th. They moved
it,
yeah.
Oh, they moved it. That's right. It was earlier in February, wasn't it?
February 18th.
Oh, and Gary Russell Jr., same card.
Gary Russell Jr., yeah, same
card. He's fighting Oscar Escandon.
Yeah. It actually works out for me because
there's
a sneaker con in Fort Lauderdale on February 11th or February 12th. I don't know, one of those days. And we're going to have some Future Legends stuff at the sneaker con.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a good Showtime card, too. It's shaping up. We got great fighters. Broner, Russell Jr., Charlo. That's
good
fighters, man.
Yeah. Jermell has to fight his mandatory, the Don King guy. What's his name?
Hatley.
Charles Hatley, yeah.
Yeah. The one that was in the ring.
The one that was in the ring and couldn't tell them apart. Right. Yeah, he came in the ring and he...
Called out the wrong brother?
He called out the wrong brother. Wasn't that wild? He just knew it was one of them.
That's great.
He thought he watched the guy for 12 rounds thinking he's going to fight him when he actually was going to fight the guy before that, right?
You can't make this stuff up.
Roy Jones is fighting on pay-per-view? What?
Well, He's got to make his own pay-per-view because he's he's not no network's gonna buy that fight. You know, he's fighting Bobby Gunn.
You
Bobby
say Tommy Gunn.
I was gonna say Tommy Gunn. Yeah. Rest in peace, Tommy Morrison. Mosquito.
Touch me, pug. I'll sue.
But he's gonna fight Bobby Gunn. He's gonna fight Bobby Gunn, not the machine gun. Just Bobby Gunn.
Bobby Gunn.
He's who is the world bare knuckle champion. I'll tell you that.
Is he?
Bobby Gunn's the world bare knuckle champion.
He's tough.
They had a schedule. They had a story on him or whatever. On
yeah, yeah.
HBO is that real in U.S.? Is that real? Is that like? License?
It's like
is
no,
it legit?
Nothing else is licensed. It's like underground, bro. Yeah. But they record
legal?
One of his fights.
Is it legal?
Yo, I don't know how legal it is, but they said they pay cash and it was pretty cool. I mean, I don't know how they let the cameras in like that, but Bobby smacked this guy around. He was like, barehanded. He hit him with a combination. The guy went down.
You're a boxer. Do you think there'd be a different strategy fighting bare knuckle as opposed to
I think you have to fight more aggressive bare knuckle. I think you have to throw because honestly,
and
I
don't
mean,
break your hands.
A guy who can't box, like if you, it's like basically you box in a street fight. A guy who can't box, you don't need to sit back on your back foot and start jabbing. You start shooting hooks and right hands and power shots right at him because your punches are so much shorter than what he's used to seeing. You're actually not gonna miss. I mean, I'm not even trying to take this in the wrong way, but every time I've been in a street fight, I felt like I couldn't miss the guy. Like,
right.
Like
it was hitting the bag.
I felt like the guys couldn't even see the shots. Like they weren't even reacting to them. They were just getting hit by them. You know what I'm saying? Like because I think the average layman doesn't see punches coming at them in that way. You know what I'm saying?
Where they're shooting. Right?
You know what
they're
I'm
not
saying?
Trained
yeah,
to see
I guess so. I guess the eye is not reacting to that. Not to mention their shots are like hitting the pads. No joke. I mean the average person punches so wide and telegraphs the punch so badly that's the only way they know how to generate any kind of strength on it. So, speaking of that, did you guys see the Yorkis Gamboa video on Twitter?
No.
He got to a fist fight in the gym.
No.
With some guy. They're arguing, and then they kind of shove each other, and they go at it. And Gamboa, you know, they both go at it, and they both throw a couple punches. And the guy, they kind of separate them. The guy charged at him, throws like a haymaker, misses him. Gamboa sidesteps. They go at him. Gamboa sidesteps him, attacks him. They're both tied up again. People are trying to break them apart. Gamboa, like, they get a little bit of space, and Gamboa throws a quick hook to the body, hook to the head, like, boom, boom. And the guy goes down, and the video ends. But, bro, the body shot was just a touch. You can tell it was just, like, distracting. It was like, boom, 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 boom. The guy goes down.
That's great.
Yeah, look, there it is. There's the video now. Oh, man. Anybody who hasn't seen it, put it on YouTube. Obviously, Gamboa's all Miami'd out, all white. Well, there it goes. Gamboa's not throwing point. Watch the guy throw haymaker. Watch the guy throw haymaker. Look at that. Oh, miss it. Look at all the wind. And they get back up. Watch this. And then everybody separates them. Watch. Right as the video ends. Watch the combo. Gamboa throws. Watch. Boom. Oh. He's down. There he goes. He's out.
Damn.
You see that?
That's what I'm saying.
Why would you do that? Why would you get to a fight with Gamboa?
Yeah, who's the guy?
I don't have a clue.
It's like a regular dude. I mean,
oh, you love my Gamboa's wardrobe. You couldn't picture him being from anywhere else but Miami, right? Like, that's a Miami wardrobe.
The all white party everywhere you go. Yeah,
that's why I say, as a regular guy as I am, you don't mess with anybody because you don't know who you're messing with. Like, you stay out of trouble.
I mean, that guy hadn't always messed with. He's in a boxing gym. You gotta know that's
even,
Gamboa. If you're
he's
in a
even more
gym.
Stupid.
Right, you know? Exactly. That's one of those guys that watches on TV and thinks I can do it. Or you see him in person and you go, look how small he is.
Did you see the sidestep, how nonchalant Yorkis was? Like, somebody throws a shot like that wide, that big at somebody in the street, they'll overreact
exactly,
to it.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
Yorkis just kind of sidestepped him like so nonchalantly.
If that heavy bag wasn't there, it would have went down the guy. Yeah. He fell into the heavy bag.
Doing like a pinball.
Wow,
but anyway,
great.
so that
you know what?
So
we didn't mention.
Hold on, I'm talking about the band on calls. With Bobby Gunn.
Bobby Gunn.
I haven't said that. You know, Bobby Gunn. You know,
it's a cool name.
He is right. It's a cool name.
Yeah, Bobby Gunn.
So I mean, you know, his son is a prospect in Canada. They said he's a pretty good prospect. I don't know. I read a press release.
You mean
about
Tommy
him.
Morrison?
It's like 7 or 8-0.
Tommy Morrison's son?
No.
Bobby.
Tommy Morrison's son is a
fighter too.
He's
right?
A fighter too. I think he's two of his sons are fighters. But Bobby Gunn's son is actually a prospect in Canada or something. He's from Canada. I don't know where he lives.
The kid.
Now. No, the kid
father?
Is in Canada. Yeah.
No, what I'm saying, where is Bobby?
Maybe Vegas or something.
Vegas, right?
Yeah. But anyway, so I saw Bobby on that video with on the Real Sports thing that time. I mean, in my bare knuckles, I mean, Bobby's punches look nice and short and sharp, and he's dropping the guy and stuff, you know?
Imagine getting hit by a cruiserweight.
But having said that, I think, you know, established boxing match with gloves on, even an old Roy Jones, I mean, you figure Roy would have the upper hand here. What do you guys think?
against Bobby Gunn? I don't know.
I don't know. I think Roy's been there, done that. He's going to end up being having marbles in his mouth.
Yeah, but still, I mean, Roy still gets beat by the bigger guys. Like, Enzo Macaronelli's an ex-world champion. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not getting beat by, you know, Enzo actually knocked out Roy in one round, right? And then he knocked out also, was it one round when he knocked out Roy?
No, it was like the fourth.
Was it? And then Lebedev knocked out Roy in one round, right? But Bobby Gunn got knocked out by, not that A versus B versus C matters, right, but Bobby Gunn got knocked out by Enzo in one round. He fought for the Cruiserweight World title, you know? So I mean, you know.
It's tough, man.
It's tough. Listen,
it's tough to call.
Roy's been getting hit. He's,
but that's what I'm saying. With Roy,
and Roy has a lot of knowledge, bro. I went to the WBC convention, and there was a little gym they had set up, and Roy was like doing some stuff with one of the female world champions from Germany or something, and I was in there. And I was looking at some of the stuff he was showing, and actually had pulled Roy aside and started talking to him a little bit. I was like, yo, that's some nice moves, man. You know, Roy's mind, he has a very sharp mind for moves and for boxing. You know what
I'd
saying?
Like him to keep
very,
it, though. It would be nice. Yeah, what, you know he's, what lucky, like, he's lucky he still
it
has
was,
it.
It was some really, really cool, sharp stuff he was showing.
He's had some bad knockouts. You know, yeah. Like, you know, it's well, you know, I don't want to see him like, you
that's,
know.
That's the thing. I mean,
scary.
I'm with you guys. I'm with
this
you.
Guy was one of the, he dominated the sport for a decade.
My New Year's resolution was to retire from boxing in 2017, so you know I don't.
Was that your same resolution from the last 3 years?
Yeah, it was 2 years. From the last 2 years.
All right, I'm embellishing
a
little bit.
I've been trying to retire since 2015.
All right, we're going
to
be the EBU champion, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what we're trying to close the deal on. Is a shot at the EBU welterweight title? That would be cool.
Then you cut off one of your feet and you make 140, and you make
No. I think the 140 ship has sailed.
All right.
I think that was just a big opportunity. Yeah, it actually sunk, right? Yeah.
The ship might have sunk
if we tried to make that weight, actually. You know?
Thank you.
But you know, that was in discussions because you know, I mean, it was brought my way, and it was hard just to say no outright. So I was trying to discuss, see if it was worth it. But in the end, Burns looks like he's gonna fight Ndongo. What were you just saying that I cut you off?
One of the fights that was added pretty recently, February 2nd on that schedule, was Luis Collazo and Vasquez.
Luis Collazo. Now people are gonna complain about the whole Collazo Vasquez. Sammy's coming off a loss, guys. I mean, I don't know. Last time I checked, like, you know, Sammy's not supposed to fight a monster, but Louis himself is actually not a slouch. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. Like, I've seen people complain about this matchup. Like, what do you want the guy to do? I don't understand. Like these are human beings. I think the steroid generation has got these people retarded, the people that watch the sport.
That's
like, they
exactly
think guys
the
can
problem.
Just fight one killer after another, after another, after another. Right. And then all of a sudden, when you got a clean athlete and he's got to take it the right way, people are like, oh, this guy
scared.
Like, you bunch of pussies. Why don't you shut up, you bunch of pussies? Shut up. Shut up. Go watch ping pong.
Let me tell you something.
You know what I mean? Like, seriously, dude, it's so annoying. Anyway, so
Louis far from being a slouch.
Collazo is a feisty, sharp veteran. Obviously, an ex-world champion. He knows what he's doing in there. And Vasquez is coming off the loss, so you got to see. You know, we saw what happened to Ronda Rousey when he tried to put her in with a big fight right away, coming off a loss. You know, so Vasquez is coming off his first loss of his career. You know, and he hasn't fought. When was that loss with Felix Diaz? It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah.
It's been a while. So, you know, he's got to get back in there himself. And he's not exactly taking on when you think about it that way, he's not exactly taking on an easy guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, Collazo is a guy, like I said, he's been a world champion, and he's very crafty. He knows what he's doing. And I came up with Collazo. He knows what he's doing. So,
I'm curious to see Louis makes Sammy think in there. You know, like,
and I'll tell you what's going to make them both think. They're both southpaws.
Right.
So it's southpaw versus
a
southpaw
fight.
So
man.
It's an interesting clash of styles as well. I look forward to that fight. So we'll see how it plays out, man. There's some good fights overall coming up. Man, the schedule's about to heat up real fast.
Oh, we're gonna
man.
Get Broner on our show too.
We're gonna get Broner before our fight
on the phone at least. Yeah.
Yeah. We should get both guys on there. I think we can get Granados too.
Sure.
I think we can get both guys.
We get everybody.
Hype that up a lot. Is that the card where Russell and Charlo are also on?
Yep.
Wow. They're bringing some big boxing in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know, last time I worked the fight in Cincinnati, it was a good fight, man. It was Broner versus Emmanuel. Was it Emmanuel Taylor? Was it
Emmanuel Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good fight, bro. I'm not gonna lie. That was an entertaining fight.
What
Broner
is he
makes
fighting?
Fun fights.
40.
He's fighting 40.
Yeah, that fight was at 40. Yeah. No, Broner can make 40. I think he just has to want to do it. You know.
What about Robert Easter? He's on the schedule too. But when he fought in,
he's fighting February 10th,
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
He's fighting the night before. Yeah.
It wasn't a long ride for a lot of people. They showed up, man.
Yeah.
They sell.
Robert sold well. Yeah.
Broner,
yeah,
those
Bob
guys,
sells,
yeah,
fighters
they
sell.
Sell.
Yeah, it's good. Hey, they're doing. They market themselves well. You know, sometimes people, you know, they people feel like they get on their nerves with the overdoing it with the antics. But you know what? If these guys are selling, I can't say nothing about them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and Robert Easter doesn't do the talk, and Broner does. Yeah. And Robert Easter's been backing it up. So
who's saying there's not a good fights coming up? Because then that takes you to Cotto Kirkland and Rigondeaux's fighting on that. While Deontay Wilder's fighting the same night, February 25th.
Wow, yeah, Deontay's on Fox, right?
Spilka is fighting Brazil.
Spilka's fighting Brazil on where? The Deontay card?
Yep.
Wow, so they got a whole heavyweight card on Nationwide Fox. Wow.
That's a big card.
PBC on Fox.
Wow. And the same night, he's caught on pay-per-view.
Yep.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
And then big day for boxing.
And then in the fight I can't wait to be at is that Garcia Thurman, man. I cannot wait to be there. I can't wait.
That's the fight.
Right here in Brooklyn, baby.
If the New York Commission will cut us some slack and let us work with this with the EBU. I might be on that card.
That'd be
EBU
awesome.
Welterweight title. That's what we're looking to do against in the Seferino Rodriguez
fight.
You'd
be pulling double duty again?
I'll do my best to do double duty because I don't think there's anywhere I want to be for Thurman versus Garcia than ringside right under the ring and just watching that fight.
I think
that's what I want to experience right under the ring. So I hope that not only am I fighting on that card, but I also hope to be working on it right after. And of course, that depends on being caught.
You've done
and
it
all
before. You can
yeah,
do
I've
it.
Done it before, so
it's all right.
So we'll see. Although Rodriguez, I saw Rodriguez on
put some crazy glue
Rodriguez,
on it. You'll be all right.
I saw Rodriguez on video. He's a little bit awkward. I gotta watch his head a little bit. Like you know, he's one of those where you know you gotta do have to be careful with cuts and whatnot.
And your boy's fighting the same night as the Garcia Thurman. David Hay.
Yeah, David Hay versus Tony Bellew. Both my boys, actually. You know, got a lot of love for both those guys. Really
guys.
Cool guys.
They can't stand each other, but
they really
guys.
Don't like each other. That's a good card, man. I actually would be working it if it wasn't for the March 4th Thurman Garcia fight because Sky Sports has actually asked me to work it if all goes they wanted me to work it if all would have went well, but obviously it's
schedule.
Not possible.
Nope.
You know what I'm hoping Sky does, and I've looked into it, I haven't gotten a response yet. I'm hoping Sky does the Golovkin and Jacobs fight because here in the US it's on HBO. So if Sky picks up that fight, I could work that fight. You know what I'm saying? With Sky Sports, I could
Vegas.
Be there.
Where is it?
No,
the
Madison
Garden.
Square Garden.
Oh,
it's
the
New
Garden.
York. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, HBO.
So I'm trying to. I got my ears open, waiting to hear something, hoping Sky picks up that fight so I can work it because it's right here in New York.
It's a nice commute for you.
Yeah.
Get there quicker than you get
right
here.
To 34th Street. Oh, it is. You're right.
That's great.
So, right, so we're good. We got a lot of shit going on.
Is that what up until the way the schedule goes? I mean, I know we got Joshua and Klitschko to April 29th.
Yep.
And obviously, Burns looks like he's going to fight Ndongo April 15th.
It looks like Adonis Stevenson's on that undercard of Joshua Klitschko.
Get out of here.
That's what it says here, TBA. It says Adonis Stevenson versus TBA.
TBA.
In Wembley?
That's what it says here. Oh, no, it says TBA USA. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's the same night he's fighting. Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Alvarez
it's probably be as mandatory, which is Eller Alvarez, right?
Huh?
Is it Eller Alvarez?
Doesn't say.
TBA.
Yeah. TBA. They got Canelo. Canelo's fighting Chavez Jr.? Come on.
I got a lot of criticism calling that a waste of time fight. I don't understand why.
What do you mean? What weight is he going to make anyway?
Chavez is working with Memo Heredia, and he made 168 pounds last time. Memo,
168?
I worked with Memo. He knows how to make you make weight, bro.
Yeah, but no Canelo's joke. Not fighting at 168.
Canelo? No, they're going to make it 165, I think, catch weight.
Oh, really?
It's fighting Chavez. You can fight him at 200 pounds. What, are you going to lose to Chavez Jr. if you're Canelo? Like, it really matters at the end of the day.
He does have that puncher's chance.
But I will say...
Like he almost knocked out Martinez. You know,
but
he does
I will
have
say,
that puncher's chance.
Memo had to make 168 pounds on the money. It's just nobody noticed it because Chavez fought south of the border in Mexico and nobody really covered the fight.
But right.
Chavez made 168 pounds on the money working with Memo last fight. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, all the criticism people want to give Memo and not, but... The guy makes you make weight. Well, I work with the guy. The guy, the tricks he has to make weight, they work. They help.
That's easy money for
Canelo,
isn't
it? I worked
it?
With him for the Garcia fight.
But he's got to take the fight seriously. He can't, like, you know.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
can't
well,
go any fight
the thing.
Lightly,
I mean,
right?
Like I said, if you're getting the same Chavez that worked last camp, he had to make 168 last camp. I mean, he made 168. I mean, when was the last time the guy showed up on the scale and didn't have to go at least try to make weight again? You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah,
so now that weight is 165, cereal. You're going to have to sacrifice a little more. But something in me tells me that Chavez doesn't sacrifice like the rest of us to make weight, so he has weight to lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there is weight there to lose. Unlike me trying to go from 47 to 40, where you start to question if you even have the weight to lose, I think Chavez has the weight to lose. It's just a matter of getting him to on the regimen every single day and staying on it and staying disciplined every single
like
day.
If
for
he was
a matter
disciplined
of two,
all
months.
Year round, he might be a middleweight.
Yeah,
I mean it's hard when you like weed and cereal.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Those usually don't help.
Yeah, when you satisfy your munchies cravings with cereal, that milk and that cereal really do it to you. You know.
Yeah.
So that's that. I mean,
that's
so
that.
Some fun a fun scare. Who's Easter fighting? I think Easter's just getting a homecoming kind of defense, right? Is that in Cincinnati as well? Oh, that's like Toledo or something, right? Or down the block, right down
that
the street.
Is it's in
like,
the Toledo. You're right. Yeah, against the Luis Cruz.
So they're both in Ohio. So if Easter does well and on the defense, which I think it's just a gimme first title defense. I mean, obviously you don't want to underestimate Cruz, but it's a first title defense. And then I got a feeling the Commie fight was going to happen harder for Easter than will be Luis Cruz. And then Easter will probably come in with his buddy Adrian Broner for the next night. He'll probably be there since he's close to home, you know? And then Broner. No.
8 days later.
8 days later, yeah, because now it's a week before, yeah, because they changed the Broner fight. Fight was actually going to be the weekend before. But what happened was there's a minor league NHL team, an AHL or something, affiliate, and they have to use the arena that night. So they accidentally double booked it, so the Broner fight had to get moved the week after.
Does that ever happen to you when your schedule gets moved around? Does that affect your training and how you prepare for a fight?
Not for a matter of a week. No. Not unless it's last minute. If it's moved last minute, then all right. But if you're moving it like this far out, it's not going to matter. You know, it won't matter. You'll just, you know, you'll work out to where you'll peak and you'll make the weight a week later. You know what I'm saying? If it's last minute where you've already started attempting to try to make the weight and now they've moved it, it can mess with you a little bit. But not when they switched it so far out. They've given them enough time, you know?
There's one other fight on the Broner card. Is Marcus Brown versus Thomas Williams Jr.?
That's a nice fight. I didn't know they only announced it for that card.
They just made that.
What weight is that?
So we're going to get four fights on TV that night?
We're going to get Marcus on too.
But there's four fights on TV that night? Because that's Jamel versus Hadley.
That's the card. I don't think they're going to show them all. They probably won't show them all.
Come on, dude. You have to show them.
You tell them. Hey, it's your boys. You tell them. Put it on Extreme or something.
We got Jamel versus Hadley. We got Marcus versus Thomas.
Right. Russell Jr. versus Escandone.
Those are all TV fights, bro.
They're all TV fights.
Those are all TV fights.
And Broner.
Yeah. And then Broner. Those are all main TV fights. I don't even think any of them go on Extreme. I mean, maybe Williams and Marcus Brown, maybe.
Maybe. But, I mean, it's about time. You know, it's about time that they put Marcus on.
Yeah,
on the, you know, the popular network.
Yeah, and Thomas has been in there.
He's been in there with some,
you know, he knocked out Rodriguez cold.
And then lost to Adonis.
Has he had a fight since the Adonis loss?
I don't think so.
No.
So Russell's one of my favorite fighters.
Fight each other, bro. That's it. It's so on.
I'm looking forward to seeing Russell fight again.
You love Russell.
Yeah, I do.
Now, Russell for me is the best featherweight right now. You know what I mean?
Like, I like his intensity.
Who knew that when Russell Lomachenko fought, it could have probably been a pay-per-view if you'd have waited like a couple of years.
Right.
And you said that.
This is why guys wait, though. Everybody complains about, hey, why don't they just fight? This is why, because then you wind up with Lomachenko and Russell on regular TV when they would have made a lot more money having been the two best guys in the weight class. You know?
Right. I even think about
the weight class, those guys stood out to me the most.
The guys behind you, too, like Joshua Wilder. I mean, like, you want to build them up a little more, get them a little more famous.
Yeah. And I think if anything proves that, it's the Lomachenko versus Russell situation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If anything proves that. Well, they ended up having a fight because of the mandatory situation there, but, you know, it was...
And I love the fact that Russell just wants him again. That's great. Yeah.
I love that. Because of the mandatory situation. How is Lomachenko a mandatory for anything? Because
he fought... He's talking about an eliminator.
But that's what I'm saying. It's sick,
and he won
though.
It.
I know, but it's sick.
Yeah.
He had, like, six fights.
Yeah.
How old is he?
30? No, 27? How old is he?
No. He's been to Olympics. He's not... He's no
he's
sprint
about
champion.
30. Right. I would say.
Let's see.
Maybe late 20s, something like that.
Yeah.
You know.
28.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's scary to think that he's going to get better.
That means in 2008 he was 19 or 20 years old for the first Olympics I saw him in. Wow. This guy's a beast. Kid's an absolute beast. That kid was, I remember that, seeing that kid in those Olympics and being like, "Wow, who is this guy? He's awesome." You know? And he was that young. And same thing. Rogando stuck out to me the same way in 2000.
Absolutely.
When I saw him, I was like, "Wow, this kid's amazing." You know? Well, that's it. I mean, what else we got going on?
That's it.
Is that it for the week?
There's some article here that talks about, like, the boxers who are, like, the money guys for 2017. It's got Lomachenko, the Charlo brothers. Yeah.
Nice one.
We'll see.
Nice one. Forget about the money guys. We want to see good fights, and it looks like we're getting some really good ones on the schedule. If you're a boxing fan, there's not a complaint about some nice fights on the schedule. Even the fighters that don't have a lot of name recognition, but you know they're good. Like, what boxing fans
boxing
know they're
fan,
good.
Right.
Like, if you're a real boxing fan, you know who the good fighters are, even if they're not so famous. You know who the real good fighters are. So there's a lot to be excited about on the schedule. You know, if you're a casual, and then all I care about is just don't pretend like you know what the hell you're talking about. Like, don't complain about the schedule when you're a casual, because if you're complaining about certain fights that between two good fighters, for example, like Herd and Harrison, who are two young fighters who don't have a big name yet, but they're obviously fun to watch, and you know, if you watch boxing, you know these are both very good fighters to fight each other. That's a great fight. You know what I'm saying? So
what
so
about AB? How many people don't know who AB's fighting? Who the guy?
Adrian
is?
Granados.
Yeah.
And then Granados. Even, you know, listen, not everybody's going to have the Adrian Broner skill set, but Granados makes up for it with a lot of physical attributes. You
That's
know what
right.
I'm saying? He brings the fight to you. Now, for me, in my opinion, it's harder to bully AB at a lower weight than it is to bully him at welterweight. I think a welterweight bully will have the natural size advantage over Bronner, but I think at super lightweight, I don't know. That remains to be seen. I know at lightweight, when we saw DeMarco try to bully Bronner, he got totally destroyed. So we'll see. Maybe super lightweight is the one in the middle, and we're gonna find out if Granados and his bully tactics can trouble AB. Well, you know, I look forward to watching that fight. And that's it. I think that's it for the week.
Yeah.
We've actually got to do a rant. There's too much crazy stuff going on in the world.
But next time.
The next time.
What?
We're going to have so much to rant about. We're going to do like an entire 24-hour rant.
All right, if you want to, we can wrap this show up and we can do a quick little something.
Yeah, we'll do it. All right.
Wrap this up, though. Say goodbye.
All right. Not for the faint of heart. Yeah. All right.
Because this is a whole other thing. It's
going to get pretty bad.
All right. So say goodbye.
All right. So we're going to say goodbye till next week. We might be at the weigh-in next week then, right? And we're not allowed to say it. But I mean, if we don't say it at this point, when do we say it?
No. It's looking good.
Yeah. We're going to
come to the weigh-in.
Everybody show up to the weigh-in next week. Badu Jack and James DeGale. Me and Peter Carlton will be running around.
Bring us food.
We'll bring along the cardboard Mayweather in case we can't get the real one. We're gonna have a Mayweather on the show one way or the other. If it's a cardboard one or if it's the real one, we're gonna get Mayweather.
Maybe
on
we
the
get
show.
Them both and they can fight.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
We'll call it pound for pound.
For
ounce, because I don't know if that cardboard thing weighs much. All right,
2 pounds.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Over
we hope you guys
out.
Enjoyed everything. We hope you guys enjoyed our guests. Shout out to Anna Hulatin for coming on the show today, and Angela Ray Striking also, her trainer. And we'll be back next week, man. Hope to check you guys then.
He's all messed up from the kicks.